Let church say amen. Let church say amen again. Amen. When we say amen, we're saying so be it. There's no place I'd rather be. He said, repeat it. I said, there's no place I'd rather be. Maybe you'd rather be somewhere else, but there's no place I'd rather be. Secure and in his arms. Amen. No place I'd rather be than in his care. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Genesis 32. While you're getting that, giving honor to God the Father, Jesus, Son, to the Holy Spirit who is present with us, to our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger, our first lady, only lady, Sister Stinger, to all the officials here, the deaconess, deaconess, trustees, the choir, the musicians, amen, myself, fellow sophists in the gospel, our assistant pastor, ministers, I see a lot of young people back from different places, from the military, from the universities, and from work. Amen. To my lovely wife, Sheila, who's our best days have been behind us and the best days are in front of us. Amen. Amen. It's been good 29 years. Just going to be better 29 more. Amen. My own son, Tyler, with all that bass in his voice. Yeah, he still knows who's in charge. Amen, amen, amen. It's so good to be with you on today. I love to have fun, and I know who he is. Amen? Amen, amen. I want to read to you from the King James Version, Genesis 32, and begin our reading at the 22nd verse. And he arose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and set them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou doest seek ask after my name? And he blessed him there. I said, and he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up on him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel ate no more of the sinew which shank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh until this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you. But just being God and God all by yourself. Lord, you didn't have to do it, but you did. You allowed us to see another day and to come into your house of worship to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, you are so worthy to be praised. Lord, we come now to receive a word from you. As you said in your word, you would send forth your word into the earth. We're not returning to you void. As you give us your word, Lord, open my eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. Hide me, Lord, so deep within the crevices of your cross or behind it, until none of me is seen, but only you. And you get the glory. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just to take care of a few administrative things. On next Sunday is Youth Sunday, Young Adult Sunday. And as a result, we're going to have our own Teresa Harrison will be speaking next Sunday. Amen. Amen. So next Sunday, you all plan to come on back and receive a word. I'm giving it in advance. Expect to receive a word. Amen. Amen. Next Sunday. Also, tomorrow is Memorial Day. Well, our service president, how many people do we have in the congregation and the choir who's been, why don't you stand up, all our service men and women, please stand. Those who are in currently and those who have served. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you for your service. Amen. Thank you for your service. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Today, I was wrestling with this text. The Lord sent me there and I thought I had a topic. For it, and as Rem Cole said, God has a way of changing things, and we're just gonna go with Him. And so I was gonna talk to you about defeat to deliverance, but it's been changed from defeat to destiny. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, amen. I want to know how to get from defeat to destiny. I don't mean defeat. I mean defeat. All right, that's with the D-E-F-E-A-T. All right, from defeat to destiny. I heard you all say earlier, Deacon, how he talked about some of you are somewhere between either you're broke or tired of being sick and tired. We were over here trying to figure out ourselves where exactly we fit in that equation, but it kind of speaks of some of the challenges we face as a congregation and as a people. Some of us are going through some things, and you're wondering, where is it all going to end? Well, today I want to share with you a challenge, an individual's life who went through some things, but he went from defeat to destiny. Now, whether you know or not, every single one of us have a destiny. Every one of us has a destiny. Every one of us has a destiny. Every one of us, God has purposed something in our lives. You may not know what it is yet, but you have a destiny. Now, those of you who know what it is, that's a good thing. You have kind of an edge up. You just keep pressing on. Now, I need to caution you, though, this morning, let you know, just because you know what it is or you have one doesn't mean you're going to be there right now. You may have to go through some things in order to get to some things. From defeat to the destiny. Look at Genesis, the 25th chapter. I'll read it for you, 21st verse. And it's talking about Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord entreated him and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now here, if you think about this story, I want to give you some context. Here we have a woman who, Rebekah, who was barren, who Isaac, her husband, sought the Lord on her behalf, and she conceived. And the children within her, she got twins. She got the children, they struggle within her. And she then began to entreat the Lord regarding these two. And the Lord told her, you have two nations in your womb. I want y'all to see something here. The two men of the people that will be separated from your bowels. One people shall be stronger than the other people. And get this, and the elder shall serve the younger. So whoever this younger is, we haven't yet gotten to that point yet, but whoever this younger person is, they're going to be the leader, and the elder is going to serve the younger. So already there's destiny for this child in the womb. Mm-hmm. We've been destined before we were born. So and look, go forward. And the first came out red all over, hairy garment, and they call his name Esau. After that, his brother, get this one here, his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she was barren. So here it is, we find the two, Jacob and Esau. So Esau is the older and already been destined to serve the younger Jacob. But Jacob being in a hurry already, even in his womb, trying to pull Esau back so he could be the firstborn. See, there's something about being the firstborn. There's something about being the lead. They were already wrestling. I'm just telling you what the story said. They're wrestling in the womb. I mean, there's a little battle going on. I'm a twin. So I know a little bit about this. Jacob was a fighter from birth. Before he was born, he wrestled with his brother in his womb that we just read that. When they were born, Esau came first, and Jacob grabbed his brothers by the heel. See the story as he's starting already, trying to grab the position of preeminence that in a Hebrew family that was the firstborn. To make matters worse, they named him Jacob, and the name Jacob means cheater, one who grabs from behind. Mm-hmm. Now, how would you like going through your life with a name like that? Yeah. Huh? Cheater. After he was born, Jacob wrestled continually. He didn't get the birthright at first, so what he did, he cheated Esau of his birthright. When Esau came in one day from the field hungry, you know the story, right? Yeah. He said, I got some soup here. I'll give you my soup if you give me your birthright. Tricked him, took his birthright. Not only that, he wrestled with Esau for his blessing. That wasn't enough that now he has the birthright. Now he wants his blessings too. So now he tricks his father. He dresses up like he was Esau, and then he tricked his father, and he received Esau's blessing. Yeah. Now, you would think that now, given all of this trickery and this chicanery and all this stuff that he's going through, that now you would find that you think he's gotten himself where he needs to be. But no, even with all of what he did to get himself where he wanted, to get himself to his place of destiny, he found himself outcast. He found himself at the end defeated. He said he not only now he had to leave home and he would never see his mom and dad again. Now imagine that. Now all of this stuff that you're doing, trying to get yourself positioned, all these games that you play, all this perks that you're trying to push somebody down and try to push somebody aside to position you, all of this stuff that you're doing, trying to get what belongs to you, think about it, it's not working. All that he did. All of this he did. He got his first, he got the birthright, got that, got the blessing, got that. And now what does he get? All by himself, and he's kicked out and alone. So he leaves. And you know the story. In Genesis 28 chapter, we pick up the story. He was on his way. His mother said, you got to get out because if you know you're careful, your brother's going to take you out. So you need to leave. So he went, sent him to his uncle's house, Laban. And on his way to Laban's house, he found himself overnighting at Bethel. Mm-hmm. Now Bethel, by interpretation, is the house of God. Because every now and then it's good to go by. Come on, somebody. I said, every now and then it's good to go by. When you're in trouble, every now and then it's good to go by. I don't know if y'all got that yet. He said he found himself there. Let me read that text because the 28th chapter of the Genesis, it lighted up on a certain place, and they tarried there all night because the sun was set. And look at while he was there, he dreamed. In a dream he saw, he said, the Lord stood above it. He saw that there was a ladder that was set to earth, and the top of it reached unto heaven. And behold, the angel of the Lord was ascending and descending. Mm-hmm. And the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am God of Abraham, thy father, God of Isaac, and the land where thou dwellest, I will give it to you. Look at the destiny that God is now telling him, your destiny. You are here in this place that you thought was a place of devastation. Mm-hmm. But here I'm going to let you know that you have been destined.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give this to you. All thy seed shall be like the dust of the earth. In thy seed shall all the family of the earth be blessed. That's some type of destiny.
Yes, sir.
Here he was thinking that he had done and got himself to a place, find himself kicked out. Now he's hearing a word from the Lord telling him that he has been destined. How many of you sense that there's something that God wants you to do? How many of you in your life, you sense that there's something that you've been purposed to accomplish? There's something that's driving you to do something in your life. That's God nudging and saying, I've got something else I need for you to do. But then you understand, he is cast out. Mm-hmm. He is out in this place. He's just, you know, it's something when we're going through something, the dreams that we have. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? It's something about the dreams that we have. And so here it is. He's dreaming. He sees a vision. God is speaking to him. Despite his situation. Mm-hmm. But then he wakes up and he finds himself. He said, wait a minute, I'm going to call this place Bethel because I didn't know this place was here. This is the house of God.
Yeah.
It's something to find yourself in the presence of God when you're going through something.
Yeah.
But see, he didn't stay at the church. Somebody say he didn't stay at the church.
Yeah.
Instead, he left Bethel. Mm-hmm. He went on to Haran to meet Laban. Now, Laban was uncle, but then when he got there, he saw Rachel.
Yeah.
Somebody say he saw Rachel.
Yeah.
Anybody saw Rachel. Seen Rachel before?
Yeah.
I married Rachel. I'm sorry, her name's Sheila. I'm sorry. He saw Rachel, and he felt like, you know, she worth waiting for. He worked 7 years to get Rachel. But then Laban was more trickery. He had more tricks under his belt than Jacob had under his. So instead, when the wedding was done and all of a sudden he woke up the next morning, he didn't have Rachel. He had the older sister, Leah. No, but not Rachel. But he wanted Rachel. So he worked 7 more years.
Oh, yeah.
Rachel must have been something else. He worked 7 more years to get Rachel.
Yeah.
This time he got Rachel, but then Laban decided, let me. I tell you what, you stay a little bit longer. He convinced him to stay. He was going to leave after the 14 years and go back home, but he decided to stay a little bit longer. And all of a sudden, the Lord built up his stock. He gets his flock and all the animals. And he had to be presenting wages. 20 years earlier, see what happened. Jacob left home with nothing but the clothes on his back. Now he's heading back home now in our text we find this morning with flocks in the numbers of thousands, scores of servants, and 11 sons and 2 wives.
Mm-hmm.
20 years earlier, he was dejected, devastated, and defeated with all of his possession and 20 years of after 20 years of living. You would think that he had at least the right attitude, but now you figure 20 years later, he would have changed, that things would be different, you know. Mm-hmm. 20 years passed by, you think folks would change.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You figure stuff that used to scare me 20 years ago doesn't scare me anymore. Stuff that bothered me 20 years ago doesn't bother people who got on my nerves. Come on, somebody. 20 years ago. But isn't it funny how time and distance doesn't change everything? So despite the fact that he had left home 20 years ago and amassed all of these riches and two wives, 11 sons, and all of this here stuff, he was still afraid of his brother.
Yeah.
I'll bail myself out here. He still found himself defeated. All this stuff, somebody say, you understand that it's not about what you have that make you victorious. It's not about the stuff that you possess that make you who you are. Who you are is about who you are. Genesis, the 36th chapter, he said, and Esau, when he's on his way back to the house, he sent his servants before him to go and meet Esau and tell him he was on his way back home. But on his way, on their way, they met, now get this story, they met Esau. And Esau met them because he was coming to meet them. And then he had 400 men with him. Now, y'all see this story. Now, so here I am. I'm trying to go home, and my brother that I'm afraid of is coming to me. And he got 400 men with him. What do you think is about to happen?
See,
if you have that defeated attitude like Jacob had, then you're looking at this one way, although Esau was doing it a different way. Esau brought the 400 men for protection. But Jacob saw him that he was coming to take him out. Y'all follow the story? So when his messengers came back and told them that Esau was on his way with 400 men, immediately Jacob got scared, split up his company, sent one group one way and another group another way. He said, hey, by chance, if you take one, at least one of us will get away. And then he found himself alone. How many of us live our lives with guilty consciences? Living life running from demons and people and places, thinking that people are out to get us, when in reality it doesn't even exist. Some of us are bothered by folks that are not even bothering us. They don't even know you exist and you're worried about them. How many of us have trouble looking others in the eye because they're afraid of what they think they see or what they actually might be see, what we may be hiding from them, when in fact they don't really even care? Jacob was all concerned about his brother and them attacking him when all of a sudden all his brother was trying to do was bring men to protect him, to bring him home safely. Now here we find he's on his way home. He's afraid to go to the house. There's one thing you don't want to be is afraid to go home. One thing I learned leaving the house is that I could always go back home. But Jacob panicked. He panicked, but what he did when he panicked, he prayed. He was distressed in Genesis 36 chapter. He began to pray to God, and then God heard his prayer. But here he is. He finds himself in our text. We wake up this morning. Now in our text, Jacob goes to Jabbok, and he's defeated. The term Jabbok in Hebrew means emptying or devastated. So here he is, a man who himself is devastated and defeated in a place called devastation. So here he is in his lowest part. Anybody ever been so low you had to look up and see bottom? He finds himself in the lowest possible state in his life. But then something transpired when he went into Jabbok. He went into Jabbok defeated, but he came out destined. Let me wrap myself up. It's not about where you start or how you start, but it's about how you finish. It's not about how you go in, but it's about how you come out. Somebody can say amen. It's not about who you are, but who you're going to be. See, don't get caught up with your situation right now. Understand that has nothing, your present state now has nothing to do with your destiny. You may be defeated right now, but that's all right. God still has a destiny and plan and in store for you. So you've got to press on to see what your destiny is going to be. Three things happened in this valley, in Jabbok. Three things happened. Number one, we found him that he was alone. Number two, he held on. And number three, he let go. Say he was alone, he held on, and he let go. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to let you go home. Number one, we don't understand the verse number 24. And Jacob, look at the scripture text, and Jacob was left alone. All these people around him, all these flocks, and all these wives, and all these children, Jacob now finds himself in Jabbok alone. There's nothing wrong with you being alone. When you're going to wrestle with your problems of life, it's good for you to be alone with God. Did y'all hear what I said? Every now and then, you need to find yourself in your secret closet. Amen. Just you and God having a good old-fashioned conversation. See, when you're alone with God, you get rid of all the veneer and all of the outer facade. There's no one there to impress or try to you don't have to fake the funk. Y'all know that one, huh? You don't have to try to be what you is and not what you ain't. You can be, y'all follow that one, huh? You don't have to worry about the skeletons coming out of your car. You can tell it like it is. See, when we find ourselves praying in church, we got to impress somebody. You know, we got to pray like we got all our stuff together. Yeah. And we pray for everybody else got their stuff broken. When we know we're praying, we're broken up as well. Yeah. But when you're alone with God, you can just tell him like it is. You can be authentic. You don't have to fake and be super and pretend you have this superficial relationship. You can just be you and God. Anybody ever had any time alone with God? When you're alone with God, he's able to speak to you in a still small voice. When you're alone with God, you can find yourself without a human need for help. You don't have to have anybody around there to be you share that show how confident you are or conceited you are. You can just be who you are. Because God knows all about you. Anybody nailed down at night to pray to God in a quiet time and told him the truth about what happened that day? Because I don't have to worry about trying to, you know, pray that prayer in the midst of you all. Like it's just me and God. And he knows I didn't have a good day. He knows that I did wrong. He knows everything I did there. He even knows my motivation. I sometimes know that my motivation. I can hide that from you, but God sees it. So I can just be honest with God. Church, here I am.
Yeah.
Church, we need some alone time with God. We need to stop trying to always be in a crowd. Sometimes we need to just spend some time, just us and the Lord.
Yeah.
This week, make it a point this week. Just you find yourself, you and God, just together, spending some time. Don't try to fake it. Don't try to fool him. Don't try to humor him. Don't try to make him think you more than you are. Just tell him like it is. There's nothing wrong with just being who you are in front of God. Because God knows it. He's just waiting for you to be honest. Say, Lord, Lord, if you get me out of this one, I ain't going to never do it again. And then he gets you out and you do it again. As if you fooled him. He knew when you said it, you didn't mean it. You don't have to try to fool him. You can just tell him, Lord, I'm defeated. I've been trying to stop doing this all my life. And I have to be honest with you, Lord. I want to not do it again. But I suspect if you don't help me, I'm probably going to do it again. Is there anything wrong with being honest with God? You're going to sit down there, you're going to kneel down and lie to God in prayer? You're going to kneel there and tell him like he does not know what tomorrow you're going to do tomorrow. If you left on your own. You know because you're praying just, Lord, forgive me. Because you know you've been taught in church you need to pray for forgiveness. And so you're kneeling down there, you're praying, Lord, forgive me. You have no intention of not doing what you're asking him to forgive you for. I like ice cream. I have resolved that I'm going to like ice cream. I have made some adjustments. I eat ice cream on the weekend. Last night I fooled myself. Instead of filling my glass all the way up to the top, I went almost to the top. I figure I got better for a minute. But what I left off last night, I'm getting it tonight. When you're alone, God knows who you are. Why are you trying to fake and be phony with him? Be who you are. The second thing that he did, Jacob, he got with God in a place where he had his undivided attention. Family was gone, friends were gone, his fortune is gone. He's now at a point where God can work with him.
That's right.
God can work with you when all this stuff around you is not distracting you. When it's just you and God, then you can have a personal, private relationship with God, and then God can speak to you, and you can speak to God. Is that all right? Find yourself this week spending some time alone with the Lord. Second thing he did was he held on. And look at verse number 24b through 26. He wrestled with the man until the breaking of the day. He prevailed not. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and it was out of joint, but he wrestled with him. And he said, look at what the man said to him. Let me go, for the day cometh. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. I want you all to see this story all in the dark. Here this man, Jacob, find himself as his weakest, perhaps his lowest point. He's attacked by a man. Mm-hmm. You ever been in the dark, like Arkansas dark, where they don't have streetlights? And the moon is not bright? And somebody come up and say something or touch you. Y'all ain't never had that happen. Oh, you can get shaken up pretty good. Anybody been scared? Y'all follow me. Here he is in the dark, and this mysterious man. Now we don't know. The theologians and scholars have debated about who this is. Some have suggested that it was an angel. Some said it's pre-incarnated Christ or Christophany. Some say it's a theophany. Some have concluded that this mysterious person was an emissary from Jehovah. Here we find out that we don't have to resolve who it was. All we have to know is that there was a person that represented God here in the dark, and he attacked Jacob and began to wrestle with him. Now why would somebody sent from God be wrestling with this man? Anybody, don't answer that, this is a rhetorical question, had to wrestle with somebody sent from God? I'm gonna get this in a minute. 20 years earlier, Jacob had met the Lord at Bethel. Remember, he was on his way to see to Laban to run, and now God was finding him in his hour of need, and he met him, and he began to wrestle with him. Why would God wrestle with Jacob? Wait, let me make it plain. See, God wants to meet us where we are. God wants to meet us on the level where he finds us. He met Abraham as a pilgrim. God was a traveler. Joshua was a general. God became a soldier. Joseph was a wrestler, so God met him as a wrestler. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all got that. Mm-hmm. I said God wants to meet us where we are. Mm-hmm. Joseph was a wrestler. Yeah. Remember, he started out grabbing his brother by the foot. Mm-hmm. He was probably one wrestling in the womb. Yeah. And he constantly, that's all he did. He wrestled. So when God attacked him that night, he did what he knew what he was comfortable with doing. He met him where he was. Somebody said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from a people shore, very deeply stained, but then sinking the rise. But the master of the sea heard my distress from the water. He lifted me from, now safe am I. Somebody said, if he had to reach way down just to pick me up. See, God wants to reach, he wants to meet us where we are. Wherever you happen to be, that's where God will meet you. See, everybody wants to tell you how you supposed to meet God, but let me give you a little hint. They don't know. All they know is about their own experience. Where you are, God wants to meet you where you are. If you're in the club, up in the club, he can meet you up in the club. If you're on the street corner, he can meet you on the street corner. If this is your thing, he can meet you doing that. If it's at church, well, some of us need to be men of the church out. Somebody can say amen. God initiated the struggle to change Jacob, but Jacob fought the change. Yeah. And the Bible said, and he prevailed. Yeah. I don't know if y'all got that or not. See, some of us, God is trying to change, but we are fighting against the change, and we are prevailing. Yeah. Meaning the change is not coming because we refuse to allow God to change us. So he held on. He fought, but he resisted it. He refused to give up, but I'm not going to let you go. But I want you to see something, because he was wrestling, preventing the chain, but then there's something happened during this fight. Because as he fought the chain, the man that he was fighting with touched him in the hollow and threw his hip out of joint. Then all of a sudden Jacob realized, I'm pretty good at this trade, but he just got the best of me. And he just touched me, and there must be something special about this person. So all of a sudden, instead of him now wrestling with the man to prevent the change, he's starting to hold on to the man because he knows this man has something that he needs. I don't know if y'all got that or not, but I need y'all to get that, because, see, sometimes we're wrestling against God, but we need to realize that when God has something we need to hold on to him. Just don't let go. I know it's midnight, I know it's dark, but you just hold on, hang on, help is on the way. He said, no, I'm not going to let you go, not until you bless me. Jacob decided he's going to hold on to this man, whoever it was. I'm going to hold on to him, but you're not going anywhere until you bless me. He started out on the defensive. but he ended up on the offensive. He started out trying to prevail, but he ended up just trying to hold on. He started out being prosperous, having some, but he ended up needing a blessing. He started out in defeat, but then he ended up being delivered and on his way to his destiny. See, some of us are wrestling in the dark with the Lord. And the Lord said, I just want you to change because I want to bless you. And we need to be blessed of God. So we need to hold on to God and hold on. I know it's dark outside. I know it's dark in your life. I know it's daytime and the sun is shining and things are not going the way they should be going. But if you just hold on just a little while longer. Someone said, help is on the way. We need to hold on to God because he has something that we need. Don't let him go. Because it's not going away. It may be, you may be wrestling. You may be going through. You may feel like you're getting beat up. Hang on to him anyway.
Yes, sir.
No matter what you're going through, hold on to God. When everything else fails, hold on to God.
Yeah.
If you just hold on, help is on the way.
Yeah.
Last point, and I need you to see this one. Because this is what really allows you to get to your destiny. He says in the 27th, 29th verse, he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall no more be Jacob, but Israel.
Yeah.
Y'all read the rest of that yourself. But here, I want you to see something. He let go.
Yeah.
Now, this is important because, see, what happened was, you see the first part of this here, and now he's holding on to him. But now at this point, he said, I'm going to bless you. You're obviously not going to let me go until I bless you. He said, but I need to ask you a question. What's your name?
Yeah.
Now, some people may not see the significance of that, but it's important that we understand that Jacob's name, again, meant cheetah, but Jacob never really lived up or owned up to who he was. Jacob had gotten a mass material blessing, but he needed a spiritual blessing. The wrestler, he asked him, he said, wait a minute, I want you to change me, make me godly, but I don't want no longer be a deceiver. I want to be changed from within. Jacob discovered that he had spent his life fighting God and resisting his will, and that the only deliverance was to surrender. So here he asked, what's your name? See, A.W. Tozer said, the Lord cannot fully bless a man until he first conquers him. So he finds himself in a place of being defeated, and God now has conquered him, and now he is weakened, and Jacob is now face to face with God. But before he began to march out and do what he's asked to do, he said, what is your name? I'm emphasizing it because it's a simple enough question, but this is a big question for Jacob, because you remember the last time he was asked his name in 27th verse of Genesis was by his father when he was getting ready to be blessed.
Yeah.
And he said, my name is Esau.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all got that. I don't know if y'all got that. Some of us are living under a disguise. We're not willing to accept who we are. God can't change you until you accept who you are. Until you accept the fact that I'm a sinner, I need saving. God can't save you. When you're running around acting like you're a Christian and faking that, you know, you're faking like you and you're thinking that that's going to get you to heaven, and you're treating everybody like you're better than somebody else. Until you all of a sudden accept who you are, that I too have sinned. My Bible read, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, when he finally was able to say, my name is Jacob.
Yes, sir.
He acknowledged that I'm a cheater, but I'm willing to let all that go.
Yeah.
I'm willing to just be who I am, but Lord, I'm surrendering myself before you. The Lord didn't ask the question to get information. He knew the answer to the question. He knew Jacob's name, but the Lord asked this schemer, this deceiver. He was asking, are you going to continue living up to your name? Or are you willing to allow your name to be changed?
My Lord.
God wants to change our name. He wants to change our nature. But he asked the first, he's saying, I'm at the door, I'm knocking. I'm not going to force my way in. Are you willing to change?
Yeah.
Well, if you are, then you just got to let go.
Yeah.
Jacob surrendered his name by saying, my name is Jacob. If you review the biblical name, that was important because a name meant something. Jacob lost the battle with this messenger, but he won the victory. Jacob was defeated, but he was able now to move on to his destiny. Until we get to a point where we are alone with ourselves and with the Lord, until we find ourselves holding on despite what is going on around us, until we find ourselves able to just let go and let God.
Yeah.
Somebody say, let go and let God. When you let go and let God, God can then move in your life. But long as you're trying to work it out by yourself, why are you trying to figure it out when God has already worked it out? Why are you trying to do this thing by yourself? I know you're going through something and you're trying to fool everybody else, but the Bible said, what is your name? What is your current state of affairs? What are you doing right now? Are you willing to give that up and let God have his way? Well, if you want to do, if you're willing to do that, you can go from defeat to destiny. God has a destiny for each one of us. God has a destiny for this church, but we each have our respective roles and responsibilities. I can't point my finger at you, and you shouldn't be pointing your finger at me. I've got to do my part, and you've got to do your part, because my Bible tells me he added to the church daily as he sees fit, and my part is no more important than your part, and your part is no more important than my part. We each have a part. The church can be filled from all week. Look, I'm thinking about several services. I'm thinking several services running and in full every service. But we got to be able to do our part. Until we do our part, let me close with this. When we look at that man called Jesus, he applied this same principle. You see that at the end of his 33 years here, he found himself in the garden. And he was alone in the garden. That's what the Bible said. He had taken the disciples up to a point, but then he left them at the entrance of the garden. Yes. And then he went on a little bit further, and he began to pray alone. Yes. But I see him alone. He said, Father, remove this cup from me. Not at my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Church, there's nothing wrong with being alone with the Lord and discussing and letting him know where you are with a situation. Jesus has been sent down from earth to glory. He had a destiny to fulfill, but here he finds himself in the garden, just before fulfilling his destiny, praying to the Father. Father, I don't know about this yet. I don't know if I can go through this, but not, Lord, at my will, but thy will be done. If you just give up to God, have your alone time with God, put it in God's hand. Lord, not at my will, but Lord, thy will be done. But I hear him now when he leaves the garden. I see him getting up on the cross. Somebody say he hung out there all day Friday, all day Saturday, but then he hung out on that cross. There he is. He's hanging on that cross. Somebody said, well, he died. Well, before he died, I heard him say something. He said, it's finished.
Yeah.
That tells me that he held on long enough to do what he came to do. He didn't die too soon. He didn't die too late. He died just in time. He said, it's finished. Now, I know that means he held on, but not only did he say he's finished, but he said one more thing. He let go. How do I know he let go? He said, Father, into thy hand.
Yeah.
I commend my spirit. I'm not going to hold on to this. I can stay here. I could call 10,000 angels. They will come down and deliver me from the cross. But Father, it's finished. Into thy hand, I commend my spirit, because I came with a destiny. I came down to save man. But joy, the story didn't end right there. When he said, into thy hand, I commend my spirit, he died. And somebody thought that was the end of the story. But I got news for you. Went down in the grave. There he is, all day Saturday, all night Saturday, Sunday. But then early Sunday morning, church, they said, stepped up out of the grave, not some power, but all power. This is about his destiny. He said, I didn't just come down to die, but I came to be resurrected. If he had just died, he would have been just like any other man. But it wasn't about just his death, but it's about his burial and his resurrection. He went back to heaven, sits at the right hand of God. I don't know where you are today, but here's the completion of the story. Whatever you need, God's got it. I said, whatever you need, God's got it. He has a destiny for every one of you. You're going to go through something. I'm going to give you a reality check. You are going to go through something. Just like Jacob, you're going to go through something. It might be 7 years you thought you were going to get what you wanted. You got to work 7 more to get it. It's been 14 years now. You ready to go home? You may have to stay 6 more years. But I tell you, you're going to get what God has destined for you. If you just hold on, hang on, stay right there, and surrender it to God. Just let go and let God. Yeah. The door of the church open. If you're here today, won't you stand to your feet? We have, as a people of God, been destined to do great things. When I look at our young people as an example, I realize and I see their destiny. God has such a bright future for us through our young people. And I'm excited. If you're here today, if you don't know him, what I will tell you is you've got to let go and let God. If you don't know him in the pardon of sin, you got to get to know him so he can allow you to fulfill your destiny. How do you get it? Well, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're here today and you don't know him, I want you to get to know him for yourself so that you can go and fulfill your destiny. If you're here, it's easy as confess and believe. If you don't know him, just come and confess and believe, and God will take care of the rest. If you're here and you already know him, maybe you're looking for a church home to do the work God has called you to do. This is a good place where the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. If you're here, come on. This is your time. I extend the invitation. If you're here, from defeat to destiny. From defeat to destiny. You can live out your destiny here on earth and then go on to heaven and be with the Lord and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you're here today, I extend this invitation to you. Come now. Give him the honor. Surrender it to him. God bless you. God bless you.
Yes, sir.
Give him the praise.
Give him the praise.